Good morning, everyone, but a lovely morning. Welcome to our service, to those in church. To those watching in on the web, you're welcome too. And to anyone who happens to listen in during the week, you're welcome to be part of our community. It's tough times we're in, and I have some sad news of the death of Carl Cannon, who is a member of the congregation here. Carl died on Thursday, and his funeral will be at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning here in the church. And can I ask everyone just to stand for a moment to remember Carl? We begin with our opening words. Holy and beautiful, the custom which brings us together in the presence of the Most High. We come to remember our loved ones in absent. We come to give thanks, to be enlightened and strengthened. We come to face our ideals, to consider what is being asked of us in these strange days. We come to remind one another that together we are stronger than we ever believed possible. Through the quiet hour breeds the worship of ages, the cathedral music of history. Three unseen guests, faith, hope, and love attend. Let all our hearts prepare them space. Our chalice lighting. May the light we now kindle inspire us to use our powers to heal and not to harm, to help and not to hinder, to bless and not to curse, to serve humanity in love. Our first hymn this morning is hymn number 61, Lo, the Earth Awakes Again. Hymn number 61. Prayer for peace. God of many names, source of hope and love, we gather, hearts heavy with grief for our neighbours who are the victims of war. We pray for the families, for the communities marred by chaos and hatred. May we ensure that they have the resources they need to care for the wounded, to comfort the distraught, to house the displaced, and hopefully in time to move forward to rebuild in peace. May those who mourn have the space and the time to allow their hearts to heal, for the world has lost too many these past weeks. We hold in our heart the refugees, our brothers and sisters who are escaping from war. May we be in solidarity with these who suffer and give generously to their aid. Teach our leaders to lead not from a place of reaction or from arrogance or fear or hatred, but from a place of hope and compassion. In a world torn by factionalism and strife, where war is raging and refugees have become homeless, may we find ways to house the homeless, to feed the hungry, to welcome the stranger, and not fall prey to a gospel of indifference. In our global world, may we learn to be global neighbours, rooted in the hopes of a world where peace for all people prevails. Amen. Let us say together words that try to articulate the aims of our community. They're in the back of the hymn book. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest of truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve mankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony with the divine, this to be covenant with each other and with God. Our reader this morning is Tony.
Good morning, everybody. I think it would be true to say that the most difficult transition this congregation had to make after lockdown was adjustment to the fact that we could no longer have congregational singing during our services. Even now, we still sing through masks, and as far as I know, there has still not been a choir practice. Open to correction on that, but... A couple of weeks ago, I learned that I was to be the lay reader for the service today, the 20th of March. As always, that threw me into a long search for suitable readings. In the midst of this quest, something I regard as slightly miraculous happened. I rarely use Facebook these days. I only respond to a small number of people who are linked to me. I got a message about a week ago to say that an acquaintance had posted something. I clicked in. At the top of the list was references to Bill Darlinson, who was replying to somebody who had requested some guidance about a particular hymn. The title of the hymn was Why I Go to Church. A link was provided, and when I clicked on it and read through the poem, I knew I had found at least one very compelling reason why some people go to church. And I had also found an excellent reading for today's service. And with regard to Bill Darlinson, knowing him and what we've heard from him here over the years, he would probably have regarded this as somewhat miraculous also. The poem is not a hymn, but it does provide an answer to the question of why some of us at least go to church. The title of the poem is When I Go to Church by somebody called Lendy Thompson. Why do people go to church? Here's one excellent reason. I go to sing. I might be exhausted and the children might be cranky, but I will be going to church on Sunday. Don't know who is preaching, doesn't matter. The sermon may be helpful or not, holds my attention or doesn't. It's the singing. I go to sing. I get up, get clean, get dressed, possibly get mad at not ready kids, at empty coffee pot, at traffic. Get going, get there, get seated, get comfortable, get focused, and when the music starts, get saved. It's the singing. I go to sing. It's the willingness to stand if you are able, the common agreement on page number, the voluntary sharing of songbooks with people you know in your row, even ones you rode there with. But most of all, it's the collective in-breath before the first sound is made, the collective drawing upon the grace of God, the collective, if inadvertent, admission that we are all human, all fragile, all in need of the sustaining air freely dispensed, all in need of each other to get the key right and not sound discordant. It's the hidden life celebration in the act of making a joyful noise altogether. We don't even have to sound that good. Singing together still brings home the we-ness of worship, the not aloneness of life in God. The best of all we have to offer each other. When we are singing, I think I might actually be able to forgive you for being so terribly human. And you might be able to forgive me for being so terribly not there yet. And we might be able to find peace now, not postpone it for some heavenly hereafter, but live and breathe today, drawing in the grace of God. Voicing our need and hope and gratitude and longing. When we are singing, I can feel the better world coming, and if I get to be part of it, you do too. So sing with me, and we'll make our way down that blessed road together, collectively better than we ever thought possible. Lindy Thompson.
We do have some children, but they're up in the gallery, so I won't ask them to come down, but I will tell everyone a story. And it's a story about once upon a time. They were two young men, and they joined a monastery, and they were both very interested in finding out about God and spirituality and things like that. They were really, really dedicated students, and they did all their homework and were very, very careful about behaving well. One of them seemed to be a bit of a favorite with the teacher, and the other guy, the least favored one, felt a little bit left out and wondered why he wasn't doing quite as well. And his guru said, well, I will give you an example of where I think he's doing better than you are. And being a guru and a once upon a time story, the guru was able to do magic. And what he did was he brought this student out, Arjun was his name. He brought Arjun out and he did magic and a whole pile of golden coins appeared on the ground beside him. And he said, you see the town over there? I want you to give that gold to the people of the town. So Arjun went and he said, I better organize this properly. I'll make a list of the people in the town. I'll see who is better off and maybe needs less money, and I'll see who's poor and they might get some more money. And he made his lists and he checked them twice. And then he made an announcement in the town telling people, I have gold to give out. Come and I will give it to you. And he checked his list, and as per the list, he gave people the gold. Then he noticed that some of them seemed to be coming back a second time. Some of them changed their clothes, a bit of disguise, and went off and came back looking for more gold. And he got a bit annoyed at this, and this went on for days and days, people trying to trick him into getting more gold and things like that. After a few days, his guru came back. Arjun was absolutely exhausted from doing all this work and checking and going through his lists. And the guru asked him how he got on, and he explained how tiring the whole thing had been. So he said, I'm going to do the same with my other student and let's see how he does it. So he went with the other student, he brought Arjun with him, and he made the pile of gold in another town, similar size and all the rest, and made the pile of gold. And they watched the other student, and what did he do? Called the people of the town together, and he says, look, there's a whole pile of gold there. You help yourselves and organize it and enjoy it. And he walked away. And the guru said to the young man, when you made your lists and handed out things, you were giving them charity. The other guy just gave them freedom to live as they wanted to. That's the difference between the two of you. Right, now we're going to have our second hymn. And this hymn is less familiar with us. It's number 119 in the book. So Josh is going to play it through, and then we will sing it. I chose it because of the words. I'm going to read a poem by Kitty O'Mara. I know we're still remembering the losses of COVID. Gavin is going to accompany me on the piano with a piece of music he wrote himself. The poem title is, "And the People Stayed Home." And the people stayed home and read books and listened and rested and exercised and made art and played games. They learned new ways of being, and they were still, and they listened more deeply. Some meditated, some prayed, some danced, some met their shadows. And the people began to think differently, and the people healed. And in the absence of people living in ignorant, dangerous, mindless, and heartless ways, the earth began to heal. And when the danger passed, and the people joined together again, they grieved their losses and made new choices and dreamed new images and created new ways to live and heal. And the earth fully has been healed. Let us pray. And this is another prayer for peace, so please relax in your seats and just try and find peace within yourselves. May every creature abound in wellness and peace. May every living being, weak or strong, the long and the small, the short and the medium-sized, the mean and the great. May every being, seeing and unseen, those dwelling far off and those dwelling nearby, those already born and those waiting to be born, may all attain inward peace. Let no one deceive another. Let no one despise another in any situation. Let no one from apathy or hatred wish evil to anyone at all. Just as a mother with her own life protects her only child from hurt, so within yourself foster limitless concern for every living creature. Display a heart of boundless love for all the world in its height and depth and broad extent. Love unrestrained, without hate or enmity. Then as you stand, walk, sit or lie, until overcome by drowsiness, devote your mind entirely to peace. It is known as living the life divine. Let us cultivate boundless goodwill. Let none in anger or ill will wish another harm, radiating friendliness over the world. We will now have a time of silence for personal contribution. contemplation. It will be brought to an end by a piece of music. Last month, I gave the title for the 20th of March as Irish Missionaries to the Continent. I intended to explore the stories of Columbkill, Columbanus, Gall, Virgilius, and other Irish monks who went to the continent as Christian ministries between the 6th and 8th centuries. These monks left a huge legacy behind them. The great cathedral in Salzburg is dedicated to Virgilius. The town of St. Gallen in Switzerland is called after Gaul. In the 6th century, Columbanus founded a monastery in Bobbio. At that time, it was in northern Italy. It's now, I think, part of France. But that lasted from the 6th to the 19th century and was only closed by government decree. The monks left Ireland with a burning ambition to bring Christianity to Europe. Some of them left because of family disputes, perhaps even under a bit of a cloud. What struck me was that no one asked them for passports, residency permits, or work visas. But when I came to write the address, looking back at a golden period of Irish history, seemed unimportant in the face of what is happening in Europe today. So I hope people are not going to get disheartened by this, what's happening in Europe, but I felt I had to say something about it. At the end of the Second World War, the European Union was established to prevent further wars in Europe. And since 1945, Europe has enjoyed a prolonged period of peace and a corresponding growth in their prosperity. Europe has ensured an equitable and reliable supply of cheap food for us. We, living on the western fringe of Europe, since our membership of the EU, we have become more open, more outward-looking people. And individual personal freedoms have flourished in Ireland since we joined the EU. For almost 90 years, peace has prevailed. But now Europe is experiencing a war. It's a war where one of the combatants has a nuclear arsenal. It's being fought in a country that has nuclear power stations. 36 years ago, it was a country that had the worst nuclear accident in the history of mankind. As we came to the end of the last millennium, scientists intensified their warning about the dangers posed by an increasing world temperatures. The first international conference on climate change was held in 1995. During the following quarter of a century, other meetings took place, one every year, and at those meetings, governments made pledges about how we were going to change. Few of those promises were fulfilled. They all failed when it came to the fact they were going to cost us money. Perhaps it was Greta Thunberg's taunt of more blah, blah, blah. But in 2021, there did seem to be a dawning realization that we had to change. It was imperative. And the developed countries began to take action. And the world seemed united in their commitment to lessen our footprint on a very distressed planet. This millennium, the last 22 years, has been very eventful in terms of history. We tend to forget so much has happened. There's 9/11, the financial crash. America went to war with Iraq and sent troops into Afghanistan. The Arab Spring blossomed briefly, but it was defeated by a great deal of brutality. And a destabilized Middle East, the return of the Taliban in Afghanistan, poverty caused by climate change, all of these came together and created a tsunami of refugees seeking a place in Europe and a better life. And then, to put the icing on the cake, in 2020 came the pandemic. Just before the pandemic broke out, this congregation set up a refugee welcoming committee. It was a government scheme. We would agree to support a Syrian family for the first 2 years in Ireland. In a very short time, we had raised the required €10,000. And we were ready to receive and support a family from Syria based in a refugee camp in the Lebanon. The plight of Syrian families, bombed, their homes bombed into dust, awoke widespread empathy and sympathy. COVID put that scheme on hold. But we continue to work with the Irish Refugee Council. And last year, with the easing of COVID, We saw the increase in refugees coming from Afghanistan. And we are host to one refugee from Afghanistan who's making excellent progress in settling into Ireland. But now war has broken out in the Ukraine. And literally millions of refugees have left the Ukraine for the safety of Europe. Irish people have rightly opened their hearts, their homes, and their purse strings to help these women and children. This latest flood of displaced people means that refugees from Afghanistan are largely forgotten. The Syrian refugees have taken a huge step down the ladder of our concern. And that doesn't even consider the situation of refugees in Palestine and the victims of war in Yemen. We humans are such a contradiction. We are social beings. We need one another. And we saw how much we need one another during the pandemic. Yet we fight war after war. Why is it that we can't learn the lesson that war is futile? Almost 3,000 years ago, the Jewish prophet Micah wrote longingly of what peace might look like. He wrote, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks." The Buddha said, "Never does hatred cease by hating in return. Only through love can hatred come to an end. Victory breeds hatred. The conquered dwell in sorrow and resentment." When armies go to war, it is often with prayers to God to bless the war. Soldiers march to war to the beat of music. What an insult to God, and what a travesty of Christian teaching. The Chinese philosopher Lao Tzu understood the implications of war. And again, he's writing 2,500 years ago. He said, I think this is really important when you think of the leaders of war today. "The mark of a great leader is that he goes to battle gravely, with sorrow, with great compassion, as if he were attending a funeral." I'm just going to read that again. "The mark of a great leader is that he goes to battle gravely, with sorrow and great compassion, as if he were attending a funeral." Modern leaders certainly ignore those words of Lao Tzu. They go to war with a television broadcast or address a stadium packed with people who are not allowed to speak the truth as they see it. The adage that truth is the first casualty of war still holds true. America began the Iraqi war with Operation Shock and Awe. It sent troops into Afghanistan with a promise to support the people of Afghanistan for however long their support is needed. They stayed until it was politically expedient for them to leave. They didn't leave because the Afghanistans were safe. Russia, of course, is not involved in a war at all. Their troops are on special military maneuvers. They're assisting their neighbors. And anyone who dares to contradict this lie will at best end up in jail, because all political opposition has been silenced in Russia for the past 22 years. The Jewish prophet, when he wrote about soldiers beating their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, if only it were that simple. It's impossible to beat a cluster bomb into a plow, and anti-aircraft artillery aren't much use for pruning vines. In November in Glasgow, less than 4 months ago, world leaders committed themselves to being more caring of the earth. It was seen that we were in our last chance saloon. The time had come when the developed world would wean itself from using that and their depending on fossil fuels. During the past month, planes and artillery have pounded the land of Ukraine with bombs. There's constant black smoke from homes burning unchecked. Nature and human life and animal lives are being destroyed and the land poisoned. And last week, amid all of this, Boris Johnson, the host of the climate conference in Glasgow, went to visit Saudi Arabia, requesting that they increase their petrol production. It's a dark scenario, isn't it? And we do need to think of ways that we can get through this time. We can't bury our heads in the sand. We must take care of our mental health, though, as well. So I would say, don't binge watch reports from the war zone. Keep up to date with what is happening once a day at most. We must not encourage despair in our lives. Remember that Russian soldiers are being killed in a war that is not of their making. Russian mothers and fathers are losing their children. And Russian tears, Ukrainian tears, Afghan tears, Syrian tears are all exactly the same. They are the outward sign of intense pain. The only people who win in a war are the manufacturers of arms. They always have, unfortunately, they always will. We have a duty to help the victims of war in any way we can. We should welcome the refugees and continue to welcome them in the long term. We must be generous providing aid for them. 1500 years ago, when Europe was in the Dark Ages, Ireland was a centre of Christianity and learning. Irish monks brought the light of Christianity to a Europe in turmoil. I hope once again that Ireland will live its Christian values in how we care for people who come to us for sanctuary and those who are in need from war. It is important to make time to for your spiritual practices, whatever that is. Come to church, take time to pray, meditate or reflect. Try not to let the war blind you to the goodness and wonder of life. Because if we all get very depressed and down and miserable, we can't and won't be able to help others. More than ever, we need to care for the earth. And this caring for the earth is a two-way process. If we care for the earth, it will care for us in return and heal us. Never underestimate the restorative power of being in nature. Right now, the earth, despite all the badness in the world, is coming back to life. Plant something. Watch it grow and blossom. That is the best antidote to the destruction of war. And these dark days will pass. We pray that peace will soon return to Europe and the world. We pray for peace, beginning with ourselves and then spreading out to everyone and everyone else we share this planet with. Amen. We will now have our third hymn. It's the hymn number 20. It's Be Thou My Vision, and chosen because it's an Irish tune and it's a St. Patrick's weekend. Hymn number 20. Our notices, just to say thank you to Gavin for playing the piano today. And just about the masks, they're not required now, but we are being extra cautious here in the church. And I think until the numbers start going down again, we'll stay extra cautious. There's no offertory, but there is a collection box on the way out, and it is possible to make a donation to the church from our website. There's copies of Oscult magazine on the table outside, and also copies of the Inquirer and NSPCI magazine. Wednesday, there's a lunchtime reflection service, 1:05 to about 1:35, followed by tea and coffee. It's available online or in the church. Just to remind people that the annual general meeting of the congregation will be on the 24th of April, after the service. It's going to be held in the church. We won't have the web camera on for it, but we're going to try and set up a Zoom connection for members who wanted to listen in and can't come to church. There is a meeting of the senior coming of age group next Sunday, immediately after the service. Just to say, as we're coming to our AGM as well, we do need people to join the managing committee. Members, voting members, are allowed to join it. And if people join, everyone can take a turn doing it, and we all get a break if necessary. On Good Friday, I think that's the 15th of April, we are going to read the names of all the people killed in 30 years of violence in Northern Ireland. We debated doing it this year. It hasn't happened for the last 2 years because of COVID. So what we decided is that we will have it this year and then have a conversation with you, the congregation, as to whether we should continue reading them in future years. Lovely to hear that the walking group are out next Saturday, and they're going to walk Clune Forest. The details are available on the website or on our email. And the book club meet on the last Wednesday of the month, which is the 30th of March, and at 7 p.m. they start. Trish is going to make a report from their Refugee Welcoming Committee.
Dear friends, at a time of great international distress, it gives me enormous pleasure to share some excellent news with you. The Managing Committee gave our Unitarian Refugee Welcome Committee the go-ahead to designate February as Refugee Month in the Church, to address each of the four Sunday services on our work, and to benefit from each of the four Sunday service collections. Our committee knows this community, and we did have high hopes for a decent influx of much-needed funds. However, your generosity has really blown us away. The total amount collected at the four services and from envelopes left in the box is an astonishing 4,461. 4,461. That is more than 1,100 euros a week for four consecutive weeks. It really is wonderful. You might be avidly watching the arrival of Ukrainian refugees and the promises of government support for them, and you might be wondering what our Welcome Committee needs all the money for. It is primarily to bridge the gap between the immediate needs of our young Afghan refugee, whom we in public call Hajira, to protect her privacy, and the coming on stream of government supports. Suffice it to say that there is a huge amount of red tape and delays in delivery. For example, Hajira's housing need has just been recognised officially 5 months after she arrived. Without our financial support, she would not be living in her comfortable small flat in North Dublin. She would have been in an emergency centre in Bosnia and not getting the opportunities she now has, like night classes, orientation visits around Dublin City, the opportunity to help the Irish Refugee Council with interpretation services for other Afghan refugees, and an internship in an accountancy firm. You will gather from this list of her activities that she is a very special young woman and is keen to strive towards independence and self-development. One of the saddest things we had to witness was her intense anxiety on behalf of her family members who are still stuck in Afghanistan in dire circumstances. We are trying to secure a visa on humanitarian grounds, but it is very difficult. So we decided to take on the task of trying to secure family admission for her mother. This requires the refugee to show that they are able to support the family member for a year. Thanks to your generosity, we were able to make that pledge on her behalf. We have also decided to make a small monthly contribution to enable her family members to feed themselves. We hadn't anticipated these demands, and without your support, it would not have been possible to meet them. Finally, while supporting Hajira is wonderfully rewarding, it can also be very stressful, trying to do our best for her and to get over the red tape and paperwork. Your beyond generous response to our appeals in February is a great morale boost for our group, and really makes us feel that we have a whole community behind us, cheering us on in deed as well as in word. A thousand thanks from all of us. Míle buíochas.
Can I just add to that, and I don't think we're breaking any confidence here, but when Trish says her family are in dire circumstances in Afghanistan, they're hungry. They're hungry. They don't have enough to eat. Our blessing. The blessing of peace be upon us. The power of love direct and sustain us. And may the peace of this community preserve our going out and our coming in from this time forth until we meet again. Amen.